the congregation for our scripture reading, I would like to direct your attention to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 14. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifices, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. And that's where the reading of God's holy word ends. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our catechism we have come to that part where we have considered the part of misery, the part of sin. And as you have heard that also last week, we have seen some glimpses of the Savior. And in the catechism it's like children, more like a revealing of a statue. There is a veil that covers this statue, but it can only seen in its full glory when the whole veil is taken off. Now that's an illustration for what the catechism has been doing. It has been talking intensively about our sins in order that we would see, as it were, the need and the contours of that one glorious Lord Jesus Christ, the one Savior between God and man. We have seen perhaps some of those contours already, but we are going to see more and more. And may the Lord also open not just our eyes and our ears, but our hearts for the Lord Jesus as we think about him as that one and only sacrifice for sin that you and I need to forgive us and to take away all our sins. Our text is taken from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews verse 11 and 12, chapter 10. There we read God's word in our text, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And we are going to listen to our catechism as well, Lord's Day 5. And we read there in question 12, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? And the answer is, God will have his justice satisfied. And therefore, we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 50. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? For one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, one who is also very God. So our theme is needed, a sacrifice, a satisfying sacrifice. First of all, we look at the requirements of that sacrifice, the required sacrifice. Then we look at what God rejects, a rejected sacrifice, and then a righteous sacrifice, and then finally also a royal sacrifice. Children, the book of Hebrews might be a little difficult to follow for you, but it is a book that is glorious. If we understand something of what happened in the tabernacle in the Old Testament with the service of the priests and the offerings and the sacrifices of peace and burned offerings and those kind of things, if we understand a little bit of that, then we also have a basic understanding to come to Hebrews and to think about these things in the perspective of the glorious light of that one and only mediator and redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so, as the Israelites would come to this tabernacle to worship, God was teaching them, how can you approach me, a holy and righteous and just God? How can you approach me? And they would have learned those lessons in the tabernacle. And the first lesson they had to learn when they came to the tabernacle was this: the Lord requires perfect justice, especially when we come and worship Him. We cannot approach Him with our sin. There needs to happen something to satisfy his justice. So children, young people, in your mind, come with me to that tabernacle, and you see the tabernacle there, and you see the court, the outer court, it's all white, saying God is holy. But then there is this huge door through which you can come into the presence of the Lord. You can come and come closer to the Lord. How do they come closer to the Lord? Not without a sacrifice. Always with a sacrifice. So children, there's a man, and he's leading his animal, and he's going to the tabernacle because he knows God wants a sacrifice. And so it is for us also. This afternoon, God wants a sacrifice. Catechism says either we or someone else. And what was the first thing they saw? As soon as they saw, went through those through the white gate, there was a white gate into the presence of God. Shows that there is the gate is indeed white. The invitation is white to come to the Lord. And they came, and they were leading that animal, and the first thing they saw was fire. Fire. And as they came closer, they must have smelled the smell of burned flesh and of blood. And they saw there the fire. It was teaching them God is just and holy, and He requires a sacrifice. He wants His justice to be satisfied, as the Catechism says as well. Hebrews puts it in these words, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And that's what they saw as they led that animal to closer to the burned offering altar, and they would speak to the priest, and they would come to worship the Lord. God is just. God is holy. He requires a sacrifice. Have you come to that realization in your life this afternoon? Can you say that? Yes, I fully agree. God is just. God is holy, and He has shown it to me in my heart. I know it. And I know my need for a sacrifice. How glorious that is if God has shown that to you. But if not, then may the Lord do so even even when we listen to His Word. God is just. That was the first lesson when they came to the tabernacle. But there was something more. God requires perfection. Because children, they couldn't just take any animal. They couldn't just take an animal that was lame or blind or had some spots on it. No. You know the laws. The laws in the Old Testament tell us very clearly, Deuteronomy, don't have any animal that has any blemish or is evil favoredness, it says in Deuteronomy 17, because that is an abomination to the Lord. God doesn't want it. And Malachi, he speaks about that as well. He says, if you would come and you would bring a gift to your leaders, to your governor, he says even, would he be okay if you give a gift that is worthless? How much more so with God? We are to come with a perfect sacrifice. It needs to be. The justice of God needs to be satisfied. There needs to be perfection. A perfect sacrifice. That's what those worshippers who would go to the tabernacle would learn. And then, look, let's come back and follow this man. He's going to the tabernacle, and he's going to that burned offer altar, and he's coming close to that fire. He can, as it were, feel the heat. Now what is going to happen there? Come and have a look. Because God requires full satisfaction. Full satisfaction. So there the priest comes, and he has a big knife, and he slits the throat of that animal. Maybe that was an animal that these people loved, a valuable lamb that was precious, that was costly. And there he comes. The blood flows, and they catch the blood in a bowl or something, and the animal dead. A precious lamb. But something happened before that even. There was something that needed to happen before the animal was slaughtered. There needed to happen a transfer. Children, the one who came, he would then lay his hands on the animal's head, and he would start confessing, I have sinned against the Lord. I have done this. The Lord be merciful to me. And he would lay his hands on the altar and confess his sins. And so the Lord wanted his sins to be transferred to this animal, and then the animal needed to be killed, and then the animal needed to be in the fire of God's consuming wrath over sin. That's what they learned. This needed to happen. Full satisfaction. And that's still the same today. God requires full satisfaction for our sins. He requires that this animal dies for sins. Well, we need something better than an animal, as we hope to hear in a moment. God is still that consuming fire who is just and holy. He demands from us that His justice would be satisfied. How does the Catechism put it? It says like this: God will have His justice satisfied, and therefore we must make full satisfaction, either by ourselves or by another. That's what the Old Testament sacrifices all showed already. Atonement. That's what it was. Children, you know what that word means? At-one-ment. God is going to make a sinner who is sinful, who deserves God's wrath, He's going to make them one with Himself so that we can come close into His presence and worship Him. That's atonement all about. That's why the blood had to flow. That's why that animal needed to burn on the burnt offering altar. That's why Jesus needed to come. Are you reconciled to God? Are you made one with God? Do you know there is access for you? Have you come laying your hands on the sacrifice and confessing your sin? That is the sacrifice we need. A required sacrifice. And secondly, we turn to our second point, a rejected sacrifice. Now, if you look in your Bibles in Hebrews 10, verse 1, what we read there, it speaks there about the law. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the commerce thereon to perfect. Now, that is maybe a very long sentence. Let me break it up. The law, all those sacrifices, all those offerings, all those rules by which God said in the Old Testament, this is how you can approach me. They have a shadow. They have just simply a picture for us. A picture for us. They picture what the Savior needs to do, the coming Messiah, what needs to happen for us in order to be saved. They are not the very image of the things. In other words, they are not the real thing. And they can never, it says here, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So in other words, the worshippers cannot be made perfect by these sacrifices. They cannot. Those sacrificial animals that they led to the temple, or the tabernacle, first the tabernacle and then the temple, they could not do the work, children. Why? Well, verse 2 says it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. If that one sacrifice that they made at that moment was sufficient to satisfy the wrath of God, then it was done. Should have been done. They would have just had to come once, but they had to come again and again. And they would have known in their hearts, yes, this is sufficient. But what does verse 2 say? Because that the worshippers once perished should have had no conscience of sin. They should have felt the power of a clean conscience. Now I am forgiven once and for all. And that was not the case. That was not the case. That's not how they felt. And that links us with question and answers 13. That's what is exactly what it shows. God wants a perfect and final sacrifice. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debts. It becomes more and more. Maybe there is someone here, sitting here, and you have seen it. You have seen it maybe for the first time. My debt is increasing. I am sinning every day. I need a sacrifice. Is there someone like that? Then listen to the gospel. Also from this history, from these verses and from the catechism. Verse 2 showed us that we need something better. We need something that comes with power to our soul and says to our consciences, this is a perfect sacrifice, and God has accepted the sacrifice and has accepted you with a sacrifice. And you are no longer guilty. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's what we need. Because otherwise, what we are going to do is try to be good ourselves, and we amend our ways, we change this a little bit, and maybe if I do this or I do that and do that, then that maybe God can be satisfied with me. If I confess my sins, if I have some tears, if I have some repentance, yes, we need that. We do. But that's not what makes us acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. A promise, I will do better. Or maybe one day I will pay off all this debt. That's not going to do it. We need to rest upon a sacrifice that God accepts. And here we read it in Hebrews 10. It couldn't have the power to cleanse their consciences so that they said, yes, I know I'm forgiven fully, totally, and freely. Although maybe some have offered those sacrifices looking to Jesus Christ and seeing Jesus Christ in the and must have felt some of that forgiveness. But they need to come again and again. And maybe there's someone who feels like that too. I need to come again and again and again. And it seems maybe there's someone who feels like it's never enough. Well, my question is, are you resting on your own sacrifices and what you are doing and what how you can approach God with prayer or with crying out or yes, all these things the Lord uses, but or are you looking for someone who is perfect? Someone who can take all your guilt, someone who can take all your filthy rags away, because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. Sacrifices, then, in the Old Testament, sacrifices from us, without the righteousness of someone better, they cannot satisfy God. Then, and now. So where is our hope? We need, as we hope to consider after we sing, we hope to see that there is a righteous sacrifice and a royal sacrifice that we need. We need something better. We need something better than those lambs and those bulls and those goats that could never satisfy the wrath of God fully. We need something, and the Catechism points it out to us, someone who is righteous and someone who is even more glorious than just a mere man, a mere mortal like you and I. And so, there are five requirements that God asks from a sacrifice. Let's listen to them. A God-pleasing sacrifice must first of all be a human person. How does Hebrews tell us that? In verse 4. For it is not possible that the bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats, should take away sins. That's what the Bible says. Impossible. Not possible that those bulls and goats can somehow satisfy. No sacrificial animal will do. The Catechism says it like this: God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. So bulls and goats, they're not sufficient. And the Catechism says it must be a human person. A human person. Animals are excluded, children. The angels, perhaps? No, it's not a human person. Excluded too. God wants to have a human person do it. Second thing here. A God-pleasing sacrifice must be able to bear the wrath of God. So those animals would go into the fire. They would go through the wrath of God that pictured in that fire. But they would not be able to then stand up and have again life again. Have a kind of a resurrection. The sacrifice that God was looking for was the one through whom who would go through the fire, but then also would have the power to come out of that fire. That's what God was looking for. And that's why verse 4 also says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It can never, ever take away sins. Verse 11 says it well, as well. Verse 11, and every priest stands and ministers the offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Because it needs to be able to sustain the wrath of God. That's what question and answer 14 is all about. No mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver us from it. Must be a human being. Must one be one who goes through the wrath of God. It thirdly must be a God-pleasing sacrifice. Must be a righteous and perfect human being. Are you righteous? Are you perfect? If we are honest this afternoon, we must all say, that's not me. Paul said it like this: I know, if you learn it too, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Have we learned that? So important that we know this. And so, as a result, we don't look to something in ourselves, some tear or some prayer or some repentance or confession. No, even those things need to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Not even our faith, as it were, our faith could save us or so. No, it's just simply an instrument that God gives us to us. And that faith needs to be then focused on someone else. A perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Children, who is that? Jesus Christ. That's His name. He is a truly perfect human being that can sustain the wrath of God. And this chapter in verses 5 through 7 shows Him to us. And we sang it from Psalm 40 just now. And there it says so beautifully that all those burned offerings and all those sacrifices could not please God. But then it says, a body Thou hast prepared me. That's the body of Jesus Christ. God has prepared Himself a body. He took upon Himself flesh so that He could go through His own terrible wrath and endure it. A body. We needed a human being. We needed a perfect sacrifice. And we hear, as it were, in Psalm 40 and in Hebrews 2, Christ speaking to us. Lo, that means pay attention. Look at this. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, to do thy will, O God. Look at me, the Lord Jesus says to in these verses. I have come to do exactly what God wants me to do in order to fulfill the law, in order to fulfill God's righteousness, in order to fulfill all the things that are needed for a perfect sacrifice. I have done it. Jesus Christ is my name. The whole Old Testament has been pointing forward to me. Lo, I come. That is the gospel in a few words. Lo, I come. Instead of all those sacrifices, instead of all your trying, instead of all your... when you realize that you're so sinful, that you can never satisfy the wrath of God, I come. Do you see him this afternoon again with the eyes of faith and say, yes, that's my Savior, my blessed Savior. I trust him. I trust that God has been satisfied with him. Do you see how here, as it were, in this moment and in the catechism also and in this passage, you, as it were, the veil from the statute is taken away and he's shown to us in all his beauty and glory. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I am that perfect sacrifice. And he's not only perfect, he's not only human, he's not only righteous. He can therefore satisfy, but Hebrews tells us something about him too. I told you before, an animal, he could go through the fire, but he couldn't rise up again. But listen about Jesus. In Hebrews 2 verse 9 it says, him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. For going through that fire. And how do we see him now? Crowned with honor and glory. So that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He went through that fire. He has tasted death for every man. And now he is crowned with honor and glory. He is that perfectly righteous man. Have you come to see Jesus with the eyes of faith and said yes? He did the will of God perfectly. He has tasted death and hell in my place. And he is that risen Savior, ascended into highest place of heaven. And he has tasted that death and hell for me. That's the gospel. For me. Luther said it. It is in the personal pronouns that faith finds freedom. The Lord, my righteousness. I can, through Jesus Christ, covered by his righteousness, covered by what he has done, I can now come with boldness and approach and worship God the King, the Holy One, the Just One, and who is merciful, and I can come to his most holy place, and I can worship him and kneel before him and enjoy his presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there someone who says, yes, I know this, I've heard this before, but how can I believe? How can I repent? I just don't know how to come to the Lord Jesus. Is there someone here? You know, plead the promises. The promise is that he will give faith through his power of his Holy Spirit. He gives his Holy Spirit to all those who ask. The promise is also that Christ has been exalted to that most high place to give what? Not only faith, but also repentance. It says in Acts 5 verse 31, him has God exalted with the right hand, exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So that's all you need. He can give it to you. It's a gift. Will you come with all your sin and say, Lord, I come with all my sin. I look away from everything that I have and I will just stretch out my arms. Lord, fill me with this gift of thine. Fill me with Jesus Christ and his righteousness so that I trust him and his blood alone. A righteous sacrifice. And yet we need something more. A royal sacrifice. And that brings us to our last thought here. And as we consider our last thought, we have two more requirements that Jesus Christ fulfilled. A God-pleasing sacrifice must be someone who is more powerful than all other creatures. We heard it. He has tasted death. And verse 10, it says here, through Christ we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Our catechism said it, more powerful than any creature. He has made that one sacrifice of his body through the offering up of his body, and this sacrifice, it all these other sacrifices, they pale in comparison to this one sacrifice. It is a once for all sacrifice. What does that mean? That means that the power of his sacrifice is so amazing and so powerful that when he did what he did once on Golgotha is forever sufficient for all those who come and want to worship and lay their hands on the sacrifice Jesus Christ and confess their sins and come to him. It is once and for all enough. This is what God required. Nothing else is needed from you and me. Nothing else. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's the liberty that this sacrifice brings, in contrast to those who came and they still had their consciences troubled. Once and for all. Verse 14 says it as well. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is a royal sacrifice in the sense that it is superior than anything else. Royal in the sense of it is greater and it is more beautiful and more glorious than any sacrifice. All these other sacrifices, worthless in comparison. But you have to say, I know that if in my flesh dwelleth no good things, then there is a sacrifice for you. In Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, is all my hope and righteousness. In him, there's perfection. I come to do thy will. And he did it perfectly. As a sacrifice, but also throughout his life, blameless, spotless, pure, holy, harmless, undefiled, Jesus Christ. So let us say in our hearts, Lord, I need this sacrifice. I have no hope apart from Christ. That is as it were coming and laying the hand and confessing your sin and say, this is the sacrifice. Lord, accept me because of him, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And here's the last one. The last thing that we need for a well-pleasing, a God-pleasing sacrifice. Number 5 here. A God-pleasing sacrifice must be someone who is, beside being a human being, is also God himself. That's what our catechism also talks about. In question and answer 15. What does it say in question and answer 15? It says there that for one who is very man and perfectly righteous, we have just considered that, and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also very God. And that's also why Jesus Christ, not only is is sacrifice once and for all greater and more beautiful, but also his sacrifice is also so amazingly powerful because of who he is. He is the Son of God. And that's what we see also in verse 12. But this man, and then first it says there so beautifully, and every priest stands daily ministering offerings, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But then there comes this climax and this contrast. But this man, yes, he is a man. He is a man just like you and me. But that's not all. No, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, that's glorious, once for all, we just heard it, for sins and forever, sat down on the right hand of God. God accepted him. He was welcomed in heaven as the Son of God who perfectly did the will of God. And God says, welcome into heaven. You have finished the work. I am pleased with you, my dear son. Are you pleased with him too? This glorious sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He, after he had tasted death, he went into glory, into the very presence of God, there, as Hebrews says somewhere else, to pray for us. And there to pour out his Spirit. And there to have a welcome for sinners who need mercy and grace in their time of need. And what a glorious day that was. Think about it. When Jesus Christ was ascended into heaven, and God the Father, as we read in Psalm 110, which is also coming back in Hebrews over and over, Psalm 110, sit thou at my right hand. Sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I put them all under you. I subdue them all. Sit thou at my right hand, the father said to his son. Welcome, my son. I accept your sacrifice. Welcome. Think about it. The Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. This is a royal sacrifice. The Lord said to my Lord, both are God. You see, that's also something that makes this sacrifice stand out from anything else that we can do. This is the Son of God himself, and this place at his right hand is the most high and the most glorious place of the universe. The right hand of God himself, the highest place. This is the sacrifice that he made. And this is the glory that he received. And this is why Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of glory. And therefore he is such a perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice that you and I need. And he is offered to you right now through the preaching of the gospel. Receive him. He is the gift of the Father to a sinful people who have nothing but sin, who say, I cannot ever pay back what I have done in sinning against God. Will you receive him? Will you come and say, yes, Lord, I need the Lord Jesus. If you reject him, then the end of this chapter says it, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, because he is a consuming fire. One day you will have to go through that consuming fire forever. Justice must be satisfied. So come to him. Come to him and confess your sin and lay your hands upon this sacrifice. And do not turn away, because the blood, as it were, that he shed is offered to you. Here it is, to satisfy the wrath of God in the preaching of the word. It comes to you. Do not trample the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, by turning away from Him and saying, well, I can do something myself, or I don't want to serve the Lord yet, or I don't need the Lord, I will figure out my own business. That's trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot and saying, it's unclean, it's not good enough for me. That's a serious thing. God requires justice. God requires blood. God requires that someone dies, either yourself or someone else. And that someone else, the only one who can do it truly and perfectly, is Jesus Christ. Will you trust Him? Will you come to Him? Will you lay your hands on Him? Will you confess your sins? Or will you stubbornly refuse Him? Come, confess your sin and find peace and freedom through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that when they came and they confessed their sins and they truly understood, this is what I deserve, that they simply said, I'm sorry, and moved on and went back? If they truly understand, they would be in awe and wonder that God has now brought a sacrifice that perfectly meets my need. And when you see that this Lamb of God is the perfect Son of God, will you not weep over your sin? And say, Lord, forgive me that this was needed. Thy beloved Son, for such a wretch as I am, and that He went through the wrath of God. We cannot fathom what that is, but nevertheless, oh Lord Jesus, have mercy on my soul. This is the beloved Son of the Lord, and I am well pleased with Him. Is that what you say this afternoon? This is my beloved Son, the Lord Himself says, and I am well pleased with Him. Will you be well pleased with Him too? And rest and find peace. Who is that one who will subdue His enemies, make them His friends, even today, and subdue them under His footstool, till one day you will also go through death and see Him as He is and be with Him forever before His throne. Amen.